The sun was still hovering over the horizon when Mike came upon what appeared to be a camp on the bank of a creek. He paused to look it over before proceeding. There was apparently only one person and one horse beside the dark water of the creek. There had been no attempt to make the camp out of sight of the common road, and there was a big campfire blazing away. A traveler on the road would hardly miss it. Mike couldn't help grinning at the opportunity presented to him.
I reckon I ain't gonna go without some coffee and supper tonight after all. Hello, the camp! You got an extra cup of coffee for a tired traveler?
Well, sure, friend. Come on in.
The man got up from where he'd been sitting and backed away a little from the firelight. Mike took a good look around as he left the road and walked the short distance along the bank to the fire. He felt satisfied that the man was alone, and he didn't seem overly cautious when a stranger on foot suddenly appeared on the road.
I sure do appreciate the hospitality. I'm a little short of supplies right now.
He glanced at the man's horse as he walked past it. It was a well-built sorrel with a broad chest and strong legs.
My name's Bob Hardy. Be glad to share some coffee with you and some grub, too.
He stepped back in a little closer to the fire.
Where are you headed? On foot like you are, have you got far to go?
Yeah, a ways yet.
Well, sit yourself down and help me eat some of this bacon and hardtack. Grab that extra tin plate there.
Mike helped himself to the generous amount of sow belly in the frying pan.
You cooked up a lot of bacon. Was you expecting company, or you just have a big appetite?
Deputy Marshal Bob Hardy hesitated a moment before answering when he realized that it might seem like more than a man would have fried for himself.
No, I reckon I wasn't thinking when I sliced off that meat. But ain't it lucky I did?
Well, you camping a little early. It'll be a couple hours before hard dark. I wasn't looking to stop for the night for a while yet myself.
It is mighty early. But I needed to stop and rest my horse, so I figured I might as well make camp.
Mike glanced at the sorrel again. The horse didn't appear to be tired at all.
Which way you headed?
I was headed toward Little Rock, but I ain't set on nowhere in particular. What about you? You ain't never said where you're going. Must not be far since you're walking.
It's a little ways, yeah, like I said. I'm on foot without no supplies because I had a little piece of bad luck a while back. But it ain't too far to walk when a man's got a good horse and supplies waiting for him down the road.
Well, that sounds like you ain't expecting to be walking much farther. How long you figure it'll take? Maybe I can give you a ride wherever it is you're going.
Appreciate it, but you said you's heading to Little Rock. I'm heading toward Fort Smith.
No trouble at all. Like I said, I ain't particular right now which direction I'm heading in.
I thank you very much, Mr. Hardy. But I reckon it's best if I just go on by myself, I've got to cut off the road up ahead to get to a friend's place, and he's a peculiar feller. He's liable to take a shot at a stranger on a horse riding down through the trees.
He flashed a wide grin at Hardy.
I wouldn't want nothing like that to happen to a friendly feller like yourself.
He ate the last of his bacon and gulped the remainder of his coffee, then got to his feet.
Matter of fact, I reckon if I don't sit around this fire any longer, I can make it to my friend's cabin before it gets too dark to see. So, I'd best be getting along.
I reckon you know what's best. Hope everything's gonna turn out like you expect.
Thank you, sir. I'm pretty sure it will. Thanks for the grub and coffee.
Mike took the hand Hardy offered and headed back along the creek to the road, satisfied that he had the lawman hooked like a fish. As he continued down the road, the daylight began to fade rapidly as evening set in. His concern was that it might become too dark for Hardy to follow him if he didn't find a good ambush spot before long. A quarter of a mile farther on, he came upon the perfect place. The road took a sharp turn at the base of a low ridge covered with pines. Some distance beyond the turn, he discovered a game trail that crossed the road and led back toward the ridge. It was made to order for what he intended. He almost laughed at the thought. The path could well appear to lead to a cabin or a camp on the far side of the ridge. Now he had to make sure the deputy saw him leave the road to follow the game trail. He glanced back toward the curve behind him. There was no sign of Hardy. He hadn't reached the turn yet, or he was hiding while he watched him. Mike wasn't sure how much of a gap the deputy had maintained, but it couldn't have been very far because of the poor light. and it was getting poorer every minute. He decided Hardy had to be watching him, so he paused before the game trail and pretended to look up and down the road, as if making sure no one saw him. Then he hurried along the narrow path and disappeared into the pines. Hardy watched the ex-convict hesitating before leaving the road. He remained where he was for a couple of minutes more, so as not to be seen when he left the trees that shielded him. When he reached the narrow game trail, he took a few moments to make sure Mike was not lingering there, having possibly seen that he was being followed. Then he stepped down from the saddle and led his horse a short distance into the trees before tying it to a young pine, thinking it better to pursue his prey on foot. Proceeding cautiously, he followed the winding trail that seemed to be leading toward the ridge. The darkness within the pine trees made it difficult to see very far ahead of him, and he reminded himself that he had no notion as to who or how many might be at the end of this trail. What if the man's father, old Jack Lynch himself, had slipped back into Arkansas, and he and his gang were waiting for his son? His plan to tail Mike Lynch without a couple of posse men now occurred to him as a little foolhardy. In spite of the tense atmosphere of the dark forest closing in on him, he was struck by the irony when he realized that the word foolhardy, when split apart, became his name and fool. It created a mental distraction for only a second, but that was enough to cause him to fail to see the stout pine limb flying at his face. Mike wasted no time following up the massive blow delivered by the pine limb. Hardy went down on his back, stunned by the attack. Like a crazed cougar, Mike Lynch was immediately on top of the smaller man, pinning him to the ground while he drew the .44 from Hardy's holster. Mike quickly put the barrel of the weapon barely inches from the unfortunate lawman's forehead. Straddled atop his victim's body, Mike listened to hear any sounds that might indicate he had been wrong in thinking Hardy was alone. When there was no sign that the sound of the shot had summoned anyone, Mike got off the body and proceeded to strip it of everything of any value to him. He was pleased to find that the lawman had a little money in his pocket. Still concerned that there might have been more lawmen following up behind Hardy, Mike did not linger. He took only a moment to consider stripping the body of its clothes, but he saw right away that they were much too small to fit. It was especially disappointing to find the boots too small as well. He would have hoped to trade them for the prison work shoes he wore. Back at the start of the trail, he found the sorrel tied to a young pine.
Now I reckon we're going to see just how stout a horse you are.
Yeah! Once on the horse, he kicked it hard into a full gallop down the dark road, anxious to leave all traces of his evil deed behind him as quickly as possible.